Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Nun Beis. We are holding on daf Nun Aleph and Beis. We are 5 lines from the end of the page on daf Nun Aleph and Beis. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and leading Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to discuss today is, if you recall, yesterday's daf was entirely about a Bas Kohen Shezintza. So the last conversation we were having about a Bas Kohen Shezintza was the machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva as to whether the dinim of a Bas Kohen Shezintza apply only to an Arusa or to a Nesua as well. So the Gemara is going to continue that conversation between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva as far as how each one darshins the psukim that are utilized by the other to arrive at their conclusions. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, is there any, in the context of that, we're going to discuss whether there's any difference in the way we treat the father of the Bas Kohen Shezintza. Does he lose any of his status as a result of the behavior of his daughter? Then the Mishnah, then we're going to have a series of Mishnayos in today's daf that just go through the other Misos Beis Din. We already described how Misas Skila was carried out, right? The description of how Skila is carried out. So now we're going to have a description of how Srefa and Hereg and Chenek, so 3 different Mishnayos, all appear in today's daf, one by one, going through the other types of Misa. The Gemara is going to discuss in some detail how we know that Srefa isn't what it sounds like, that Srefa doesn't mean you just light the guy on fire. It means that there's some sort of internal fire that burns out his intestines while leaving the outside of his body intact. Where we learn that from and why we don't learn it from other places that would have suggested otherwise, as well as there's going to be a report of a particular time where they actually did just burn a person entirely, and how we address the reports of that having happened, considering that it doesn't seem that that's the way it ought to have happened. So let's begin again, 5 lines from the end of the page, last run line, Rabbi Yishmael on Daf Nun Aleph and Beis. So says of Rabbi Yishmael, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that only in Arusa Bas Kohen Shezintza gets Srefa, but not in Nesua, Hai Bas Uvas my Darish Bey. What does he do with the extra Vav in the word Ubas? So Mibay Lelich Detani Avoy Shmuel Bar Avin. He uses it to teach us the drasha of the father of Shmuel Bar Avin, Lefisha Matzinu, because we find by Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, Shechilek HaKasuv B'Zecharim Bein Tmim L'Balei Mumin, that we make a distinction between male Kohanim that do not have a mum and that do have a mum, meaning that if a Kohen has a mum, a male Kohen has a mum, he's not allowed to do the avoda. So yachol nachlok bibno sayen, I might think we should make a chilik in the daughters of such Kohanim, that daughters of Kohanim who do not have a mum still have kedushas kahuna, and therefore they're subject to all the dinim of a bas Kohen Shezintza, whereas a daughter of a Kohen who's a bal mum maybe doesn't have kedusha and therefore is not subject to the dinim of a bas Kohen Shezintza. Would just be like a regular Bas Yisrael Shezintza. Tamlam Bas Ubas. That's what the extra Vav teaches me, that even though there's a difference between a male Kohen with a mum and a male Kohen without a mum as far as his ability to do the Avoda, their daughters are going to be treated exactly the same. Their daughters both retain Kedushas Kuna and therefore have the dinim of a Bas Kohen Shezintza. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva, who already used the Vav in Ubas to tell me that a Bas Kohen Shezintza applies even to a Nesua, how's he going to know this din not to distinguish between a daughter of a Kohen Balmum and a daughter of a Kohen who's not a Balmum? Mi vehem makrivim vayu kodesh nafka. He learns it from the fact that the Pasuker had already said, kedoshim yiyu lelukeyem. Why does it then have to say vahayu kodesh? So it's there to teach me that even Balimumin have kedusha, that Kohanim remain kadosh no matter what, even if they have a mum and they become pasul avoda, they still have inherent kedusha, and therefore their daughters have kedusha, and therefore their daughters are going going to be chayiv sreifa like a regular bas kohen shezinsa. V'Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yishmael, who derived from ubas, not to be mechalik between the daughter of a balmum and the daughter of a tamim of a non balmum, not from v'hayu kodesh. So imeahi, if it were from v'hayu kodesh, have minahani mili in who? I would have said that the kohanim balimum themselves are remain with their kedusha, but it avol b'nosei and lo. But that doesn't teach me about their daughters. So kamashmulan. That's why I need both drashas. I need the vav of ubas to tell me not only is the kohen balmum still going to have kedusha, but that his daughter also is still going to have kedusha and is therefore still going to be chayiv sreifa like any other bas kohen. So we had said that Rabbi Shmuel darshins with a mematzinu that the parsha of bas kohen is only about an arusa and not a nesua, whereas Rabbi Akiva thinks it's about both an arusa and a nesua. He learns arusa from a gezeirah shava of avia and nesua from ubas. So Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's only about an arusa and not a nesua. Hi es avia hi mechalelas my darish bay. What does he darshan from the words es aviha? So he uses the term es aviha to teach me a different drasha, that hayu Rabbi Meir Omer matam lomar. What do we learn from the pasuk es aviha hi mechalelas shim hayu noagin bo kodesh, that if we were treating the father of this girl like a din of a kohen, where you have to treat him with kedusha to be paseach rishon, to be mevarich rishon, he gets the first aliyah, he leads the benching, you treat him like a regular kohen, nogin bochol. Now that his daughter behaved this way, you're noig bo minag chol. Kavod, if you were treating him with kavod up until this point, noig bo bizayon, we treat him with bizayon. Omrin orish hazo yolad, orish hazo gidal, orish hayatzazo mechalatzav. We assume she is a reflection on him. She is a reflection on her father, the Kohen, and therefore there's a curse on him. Now the Mordechai quotes from Rashi and the Talmud Ramban that when it says Nogin Bokodesh, it means that he's Mevarich Rishon, that he's Poseach Rishon, all of those things. Now Luchora, the Lashon, the Gemara im hayu Nogin Bokodesh is a little bit of a strange Lashon. It sounds like Noagin, that it's a Rishos, it's not a Chova. The idea that we give Kohanim these honors is a pasuk, v'kidashto. The Gemara darshins of Masech is getting that you have to be mekadishim for kol dover shebekedusha, liftoach rishon, livarich rishon, litol mani yafa rishon. Why is it noagin? It's not noagin. So the pashas is noagin just means behave toward him. It doesn't mean minhag as opposed to din. It means that's a behavior, that we behave toward him with the level of kedusha. However, the Torah Tamima in Parshas Emor points out that maybe what the Brisa means to say, he's bothered by another point in the Brisa, that the Brisa says, if we were Nogin Bokodesh, we're Nogin Bokhol, Kavo Nogin Babizayon. What's the difference between those two things? I mean, isn't that repetitive? You already said Kodesh, so we're knowing Bokhol. Why do you have to say, and if it was Kavo, then it's Bizayon? What's Kavo that's not Kodesh? What's Chol that's not Bizayon? Right? What are we adding with that extra line? So he says that there are two types of Kohanim. There's a Kohen Ama Aretz, where your only reason to be Mechabit him is because of his Kedushas Kohuna. So after the Znus of his daughter, we're knowing Bo Chol. And not only that, but even if he was someone who we would also be knowing Kavod to, because he's not just a Kohen, but he's a Talmud Chacham as well. So you have to be Mechabidim like a Talmud Chacham. So after the Znus of his daughter, we're knowing Bo Bizayon. That's the difference between Kedusha and Kavod, right? That's the Chiluk between them, that the Kedusha, you would say is shaykh to an Amah Aretz where there's no din to be mechabit him, only the Kedushas Kuna. The kavod is shaykh to a Kohen Talmud Chacham, and he loses both levels of kavod, both levels of respect, of honor that we would normally show him, the Kedushas Kuhuna and the kavod of Talmud Chacham. So Amar Rav Ashi Kiman, Karin on Rishia Bar Rishia, Vafilu Rishia Bar Tzadika, according to which Tana is it mutter to refer to someone as a Rasha ben Rasha, even if he's a Rasha ben Tzadik? Kahaitana, it's assuming like this Tana of the Brisa, this sheet of Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir says, father did nothing wrong as far as we know, right? He never acted in a way that did any Aveira, but nevertheless, because his daughter behaved in such a way, we say that he's Arur, and therefore you're allowed to call someone who's a Rasha ben Tzaddik a Rasha ben Rasha. We can assume it's a reflection on the father, according to Rav Meir. Zo mitzvah haniskalin. This is the mitzvah haniskalin, the Mishnah said. So mantana diktani zo mitzvah haniskalin. Ask the Gemara, wait a second, what did we say in the Resha of the Mishnah about Skila that we then start off by saying, zo mitzvah haniskalin? It never said anything about how you do Skila in this Mishnah. So says Gemara, not in this Mishnah, but Mishum Detana, since we had back on Daf Mem Beis, Nigmar Adin, Motzin Osa L'Saklo, we had 10 Dapim ago about how if it's Nigmar Adin, we bring him out to the Beis HaSkila, and we had the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hey, Beis HaSkila, Yagavah Shtei Komos, that the Beis HaSkila was two stories high, and it goes through the whole process. So Vaidi Tekabayu Lemisna, Mitzvah Sanis Rav, and Tananami, Mitzvah Sanis Kalim. And we're about to introduce the whole series of Mishnayos about the ways that we do the other Mises Pezdin. So we mentioned some Mises and Eskalin to show that we're associating all the Dal Mises Pezdin with each other. Okay, so now we move on to the next of the Mises Pezdin, Mitzvah Sanis Rafin. How do they carry out Srefa? So Yimashakin also Bezevel Ad Arkuvosav. They would put him in manure, knee deep in manure, so he wouldn't be able to move very easily. The Yad Ramah is Medayik from Lashon the Mishnah that it must be Zevel and not dirt or loose dirt or anything like that. And that's what Tzvaris Yisrael writes. It's a way of being mevazeh him purposely. Whereas the Meiri says, nah, Zevel is just an example of that, which it's a mud that's thick and that will be difficult for him to move. So, but really, any mud would work. It doesn't have to be Dafka Zevel. It's not about the Bizayon. It's more about the practicality of immobilizing the fellow. So that's the purpose. But anyway, so he goes knee deep in this mud. V'nosin sudur kashal l'tocha raka. And then we put a hard cloth inside of a softer cloth, and we wrap it around his neck. The reason that we need both a hard cloth and a soft cloth is because the soft cloth is not going to be able to, Rashi explains, is not going to be able to get him to open his mouth when we yank at it around his neck. It's not going to work so easily. It's going to take a while till his mouth is forced open, and during that time, it's gonna prolong the process of the Misa. However, the Yad Ramah quotes a different reason. He says that you need a sudur kasha because the raka is will rip too quickly. They might start yanking. His mouth may never get yanked open. They may just rip the cloth. So Lech Mishnah understood from Rashi that the sudur the soft cloth is able to choke him, but is not able to necessarily open his mouth. And therefore, the Lech Mishnah asks, why by the Misas HaNechnakim do we need the Sudur Kasha? I mean, according to Rashi, that the only problem with the soft cloth is he may not open his mouth, but it's not going to rip, it will choke him. So why, when it comes to Chenek, do you need the Sudur Kasha? Just use the soft cloth. So he says it must be that they just didn't want to make a chilek. They just had these cloths around Beis, and this is the way they did it, and they just didn't want to make a chilek. Okay, but you have this harder cloth inside the softer cloth, L'tocha Raka, V'korech Al Tzavaro, they'd wrap it around his neck, and Zem Moshe Chetzlo, V'Zem Moshe Chetzlo, there are two people pulling in either direction, until the guy's mouth opened up, umadlik, and they lit esapsila, some lead, vizorkel l'toch piv, and they threw it, they poured it down his throat, v'yoredus l'toch meyav, and it went down into his intestines, v'chomeres espinei meyav, and it burnt out his insides, and that's how he died. He died from the inside, his internal organs being burnt by this hot lead that went down his throat, and the external part of his body, the outside part of his body, remained fully intact. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afhu im Meis Biyadam Loi Mekan Bo Mitzvah Sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, that's a very risky thing to do it this way, because if you're going to be yanking out a cloth around his neck, you might choke him to death. And if you choke him to death and that's how he dies, then you stop killing a guy, because the mitzvah of mitzvah sanis rafin is to do Sreifa. You're supposed to do the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done. And if you just kill him in some other way, that's not proper. So Ella, so what would we do? He says, I don't like this idea of trying to choke him to get him to open his mouth, because you might choke him to death. So what do? Posech espiv b'tzaves shelo b'tavaso. You have to prop open his mouth with something forcibly. Madlikas apsila v'zorkal l'toch piv. And then you light a psila and you throw it into his mouth. Meaning the whole rest of the process is exactly the same as we described. In fact, some of the Achronim are bothered why Rabbi Yehuda has to repeat the whole rest of the rest of the process is obvious. The only thing he changes is how we prop open the guy's mouth. Instead of doing it by yanking at a cloth to choke him, we do it by propping something in his mouth. Okay, so Amar Rav Lazar Rabbi Tzadik. Rav Lazar Rabbi Tzadik says, I don't know about this description of Sreifa that you're saying, meaning when you tell me burning, I'll tell you what I would think of when I think of burning. I'll tell you what I saw with my own eyes. Maisa Baskoin, she said, so there was a story where there was a Baskoin that was Mezana, so she was Chayv Sreifa, Vikifua, Chavili Zimurus, Sreifa, and they just burnt her. They burnt her like, you know, New York City subway style. They just burnt her like that. So Amulah, so the Chachamim said to him, from that Maisa, you can't bring a Raya, what the Sreifa in the Torah is. It must have been a bunch of Amaratzim on such a basin that they did such a thing, that they didn't know that the halacha is that Sreifa is supposed to be an internal burning and not an external burning. So says Gemara, my psila, what psila are we talking about? Psila means like a wick. So Rav Masa, psila shal avar, it means lead, it means a lead wick. So minalan, how do I know, how did the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda know that the way the Sreifa was done was by burning the inside of the body and not the outside of the body? So Asya Sreifa Sreifa me adas korach. They learn a gzeirah shava of Sreifa by Bas Kohen, which instance says Be'eshti Sareif, and it says Sreifa by Adas Korach, that when they argued on Moshe Rabbeinu, and they thought that they deserved the kuhuna, so 250 people go, and they're Maktir Ketora Zara Lefnei Hashem, so a fire comes out, Me'es Hashem, and consumes them, and the Torah says, Asher Hikrivu Hasrufim. So Ma'la Alon, just like by Adas Korach, Sreifas Nesham of Guf Kayam, Afkan Sreifas Nesham of Guf Kayam. Just like over there, it was a burning of the neshama, but the body remained intact. Over here also, it's ki'ilu a burning of the neshama. I mean, it's not like the intestines are the neshama, but it means a burning of the insides, where it's not as obvious on the outside. That's what applies over here as well. Rav Lazar Omer Asya Sreifa Sreifa Mibnei Aaron. No, it's not from Adas Korach. It's from Bnei Aaron, from Nadav and Avihu bringing an Eish Zara Lefnei Hashem, and a heavenly fire comes out and burns them. Mala Alon, just like Sreifas Bnei Aaron was Sreifas Nesham of Guf Kayim, Afkan Sreifas Nesham of Guf Kayim. So over here also, it's a burning of the insides, but the outside part of the body remains intact. So Mandi Yalef Me Adas Korach Minale, the Shita that learns from Adas Korach, how do I know that that's what happened at Adas Korach? I mean, you tell me, how do I know that Mitzvah Sreifa is Sreifas Nesham of Guf Kayim? Oh, because that's what happened by Adas Korach. Who said that's what happened by Adas Korach? How do I know that? Because the pasuk says, "Esmachtus haChatoim ha'ela b'nafsho sam." Chatoim means sinners. Chatoim, if there's no dagesh in the test, the word chatoim would mean sins. When there's a dagesh in the test, it means chotim to an extreme. It means people whose very identity is their sin. So what is it? Yitamu chatoim in ha'aretz or rishoim od einam. So chatoim means chotim, means the worst kinds of sinners. So the machtos hachatoim ha'ele b'nafshosam. So from the word b'nafshosam we learn shen nishmasam nesrefas v'guf kayam, that their neshama was burnt, but their body remains intact. The Idach and Reb Lazar, who learns from the Gezer Shava from Bnei Aaron and not from Adas Korach, will say he's straight from Mamashi. No, because Adas Korach was actually a burning of the body as well. Umay b'nafshosam. Why does it say b'nafshosam if it was actually a burning of the body as well? Shenischayv sreifa aliske nafshosam. Because the Adas Korach were chayiv sreifa because of what they did with their nefashos. Because they indulged their nefashos with Michael and Mishta and things like that. Kidurei Shlakish, Damrei Shlakish, Maiduch Siv. What does the pasuk mean when it says in Tehillim, Bechanfei Lagi Ma'og Chorok Alay Shneimo? So Bishvil Chanufa Shechnifu Lukorach. because of the false flattery that the Adas Korach gave Korach, and they joined in his rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, his mockery of Moshe Rabbeinu, al iske legima, and they only did that because Korach fed them well, and he gave them to drink, and he took good care of them physically. So Charek Alei and Sar Shel Gehenim Sheinav. That's why the Sar Shel Gehenim was able to go after them, to burn them in the Eish of Gehenim. But you do not see from there that it was Sreifas Neshama of Guf Kayim Adrabe. They were totally burnt. So their bodies were destroyed entirely, and that's why we have to learn it from Nadav and Avihu. So Mandi Yalef and Reb Lazar, who derived that as Sreifas Neshama of Guf Kayim Mibnei Aaron from Nadav and Avihu. So Minale, how do you know that Nadav and Avihu were Sreifas Neshama of Guf Kayim? Maybe they were entirely burnt as well. Tichsiv Ayamusu Lifnei Hashem Ke'en Misa. It says they died. When someone gets burnt, when someone gets burnt alive, or burnt, and their body gets burnt, you don't just say they died. You say that their body was charred, that they were entire. That died makes it sound like a person had a heart attack, that something just happened. So they must have died in a way where the outside part of their body looked the same, where it remained intact. V'idach, and the Tanakhama that learns from Bnei Korach, why doesn't he want to learn from Bnei Aaron? Ha'u Sreifa Mamash Havai, he thinks that the Bnei Aaron were actually fully burnt. Umaydik Siv Ayamusu, why does it say Ayamusu? Because it started out on the inside, but then ultimately the fire spread to the outside of their body as well. So it started with Vayamusu, meaning maybe at the time of death, it was the outside part of their body was still intact, but the fire spread and ultimately burnt the rest of their body. Titania Abiyosi ben Dostai Omer, Shnei Chutin Shalesh Yatsun Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, V'nechluku La'arba, that there were two strands of fire that came out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and split into four. And two of them went into the nostrils of this one, two of them went into the nostrils of that one, usrafim, and it burnt them. So ask the Gemara Vaksiv by Mises Bnei Aaron, doesn't it say Vatochalosam? So from the fact that the Torah doesn't say Vatochlam, it says Vatochalosam, it sounds like we're coming to be Memait, and therefore according to the Shita that it was only their Neshama that was burnt, we're being Memait their Guf, so I understand that, but if you're going to tell me that their body was burnt as well, what are we being Memait? Why does it say Vatochal Osam? Osam as opposed to what? So it says more Osam v'lo Bigdeyan. It's being Memait something. It's saying that the fire stopped at their begadim, that it didn't burn their clothing. It only burnt their flesh. It only burnt their body. So everyone agrees the fire was somewhat limited. It's just one opinion is it was limited in that it only burnt the internal organs and didn't affect the outside part of the body at all, the skin and the flesh. Whereas the other opinion says, no, it affected the skin and the flesh, but not the begadim. So now the Gemara says, why can't I learn how Sreifa works in Beis Din from an entirely different source? Nelev miparman Srafim. Why can't I learn mitzvah Sreifa from the Sreifa that the Torah describes about the Parom Dover Shel Tzibur and the Par Kohen Meshuach, where it gets entirely burnt, it doesn't get eaten. So Mala Alon Sreifa Mamish Afkan Sreifa Mamish. So maybe I should derive from there that Sreifa means Mamish, that you burn the entire thing. So maybe we should burn the guy's entire body and not just his internal organs. So Mestavra may Adam have a little melech. No, it's more Mestaver that if we're going to learn about the burning of a human being, we should learn it from examples in the Torah, where the Torah describes a sreifa of a human being. Shekein, because it's more similar in four ways. Adam, chote, neshama, pigul. That a person with chayiv misas beis din is similar to Adas Korach and Bnei Aaron in that he is an Adam, in that the misa was because of a chet, because of an avera, in that the burning involves a netilas neshama, and there's no pigul that was associated, that could be associated with any of these cases. So as opposed to parim and esrafim that share none of those things in common. It's a par, it's not an adam. The par didn't do any avera. The sreifa is not an netilas neshama because it was already shechted prior to the Sreifa, so there's no killing of anything at the time of the Sreifa, and you can have Pigel, because it's Kachim. Kachim is always subject to Pigel. So says Mara, well, Adrabah, I might tell you that we should learn the Misas Bezdin of Sreifa, Mi Paraman Esravim Avalel Melav, Shekein, Machshir Nadoros. It has two things in common. A person who's Chayiv Sreifa and Bezdin is similar to Paraman Esravim, in that they're both a Machshir, meaning they're both a fulfillment of the Ratzon Hashem, that Hashem wanted to burn the Chote, and he tells us we have a mitzvah to burn the Paraman Esravim, so it's a Hechshir for their mitzvah. And it's also, as opposed to by Nadav and Aviu and by Adas Korach, it was a reaction. It wasn't a mitzvah. It was a reaction to an avera that was done. And it's also similar in that it's Noig Lidoros, whereas Adas Korach and Bnei Aaron, that was just a one-time event that happened. So it says, well, you're right. It has those things in common with the Paraman Esravim, but Hanach Nefishin. Since a Sreifas Bezdin has four things in common with Adas Korach and Bnei Aaron, and only two things in common with the Paraman Esravim, so we're going to learn from Adas Korach and Bnei Aaron, and therefore it's Sreifas Neshama V'Guf Kayim. The Shita that learns from Adas Korach, why doesn't he learn from Bnei Aaron? So he says, because Ahu Sreifa Mamish Havai. He learns that Bnei Aaron was an actual Sreifa. V'nelef Mina, okay, so we should learn from Bnei Aaron that you do an actual Sreifa of the whole body. So Amrav Nachman, Amar Baravua, Amar Kra, V'yavtal Reacha Kamocha Barolo Misa Yafa. That no, what the Torah is doing is it's giving us two models that we could follow of what Sreifa means. Bnei Aaron, where it's an entire burning of the whole body, and Adas Korach, where it's only Sreifas Neshama. And we have to figure out which one is the way we do Misas Sreifa in Beis Din. So we're always going to choose the less painful of the two deaths, or the less embarrassing, the death that involves the lesser Bizayon. Because there's a pasuk, V'yavta l'reacha kamocha, part of that is picking a Misa Yafa for the person. So it's like a Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Behen, meaning it's similar to how the Gemara describes the Masechta Sukkah when it's trying to identify the Dalet Minim, and we know, and we have an option that maybe one of these Minim is really a thorny type of branch. And no, we say, Drachad Darchinom, Mechon Sivasah Shalom. So Drachad Darchinom points us in a different direction, tells us that the Limud can't be from there, it must be from somewhere else. So too, V'yahavtal Re'acha Kamocha tells us that if you have two possibilities, you got to pick the one that seems to be the more Misa Yafa. The Yad Ramah has two interpretations of how we learn it from Re'acha. So he says, Re'acha, because even a Rosh who's Chayiv Misa, every Jewish person is Re'acha. Everyone is considered to be your friend on some level. Or he says, Re'acha may be from Lashon Ra, that even Re'acha, even if he's a Ra, even if he's a bad guy, he's Chayiv Misa, still you have to be a Hafta Kamacha. So Shita Mekubetzes and Ksubis quotes both interpretations, and he says the first one is correct. Every Jewish person is your friend. So V'Hafta L'Re'acha Kamacha applies over here, even for someone who's Chayiv Misa's Bezin. Once I have the pasuk of the Aftal Re'acha Kamocha to tell me that you burn the neshama but the guf is kayim, Gezer Shava Lamali, why do I need the Gezer Shava to Adas Korach or Bnei Aaron? So Ilav Gezer Shava, Avmina Sreifas Neshama V'Kayim La Sreifa Yiklal. If I didn't have any model of Sreifa that involved only Sreifas Neshama, I would have thought that that does not constitute a Sreifa. So V'yimishim V'Aftal Re'acha Kamocha, and if I only had V'Aftal Re'acha Kamocha to pick a Misa, then Lapishle Chavilis Murs Keichu Delisrof La'agel, that I would think that the best way to, meaning how would I fulfill V'Aftal Re'acha Kamocha if I thought that Sreifas Neshama is not a real Sreifa? I would think just throw as much flammable material as you can to make the fire as big as possible, so that he'll die as quickly as possible. So granted, it'll be a terrible nivel ames, because the body will be singed and charred, but at least he'll die quickly. So kamash mulan, that's why I have the gzer shav of Sreifas Neshama, to tell me that Sreifas Neshama is called Sreifa as well. And once we know that that's called Sreifa as well, the Aftal Re'acha Kamocha tells me that's the Sreifa we should choose, as opposed to a Sreifa of the body. So now, once we mention the Bnei Aaron, that they brought this Eish Zara and they died, so the Gemara brings a Maisa that teaches us that looking for a position of authority is what caused their Misa. Looking to advance their careers, so to speak, is what caused their Misa. Ukvar hoyu Moshe v'Aaron mahalchen baderech, v'nod v'aviyu mahalchen achrein v'kol Yisrael achrein. Nod v'aviyu were walking on the road toward toward to Har Sinai, and Moshe and Aaron were walking, and Nadav and Avihu were behind them, and all the Jewish people were behind them, meaning that was like sort of the hierarchy of the Jewish people. So Amar lo Nadav l'Avihu, Nadav said to Avihu, Emes hayemusu shnei zekenim alalu, when are these two zekenim going to die? Moshe and Aaron, v'ani v'ato nanig esadar, and then it will be our turn to take over the leadership of Klal Yisrael. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hanira miko veresmi. We'll see who buries who. Sometimes you have this plan of succession of who's going to succeed who, and you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who's going to live the longest. I think right, what was that in Yerushalayim? The Adaris came to Yerushalayim because they needed a younger rabbi because of Shmuel Salant was getting old, and they figured they'd hire his successor and get trained. And then he ended up dying before Shmuel Salant was maspid, the Adara. So he can't always figure out who's going to die before who. So the younger generation died before the older generation. Amra Papa, Hainu Damri Inchi, Nefishi Gamli Sabi, Diti Ini Mashki Duhugni, that there are a lot of old camels that are carrying the hides of the camels that had nursed from them, that are the younger ones that died, that predeceased them. So Moshe Aaron with the Zekenim and Nadav and Avihu predeceased them. Now, once we mentioned Adas Korach, that they were great Chachamim, they were Nesi Eda, Kriyemo, and Anshe Shem, and because Korach bribed them with money, they got involved in this Machlokas with Moshe Rabbeinu, with the Merida against Moshe Rabbeinu and Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara tells us a teaching of Rabbi Lazar that how Talmud Chacham should behave in front of an Amma Aretz. Amr Ablazar, L'mat Amma Chacham Domu L'fnei Amma Aretz, how does Talmud Chacham appear before an Amma Aretz? B'tchila, when Talmud Chacham is acting with dignity and he does not require the Amma Aretz, Domu L'kiton Shel Zahav, the Amma Aretz use him as like a golden pitcher. Siper Hemenu, once he begins to speak Divrei Chulin with him, so all of a sudden he respects him less, Domu L'kiton Shel Kesef, meaning the Talmud Chacham thinks he's going to relate to the Amaretz. So he starts talking to him about nonsense, about Sichas Chulin. So the Talmud Chacham thinks that he's getting in the good graces of the Amaretz. The Amaretz respects him less for that. Nenemimenu, once the Talmud Chacham starts getting Hanor from the Amaretz, he starts taking money from him. Doma Lekiton Shalcheres. All of a sudden he's like a cheap piece of pottery. Kivin Shenishbar Shuvin Lo Takana, where once it breaks, there's no fixing it. Imarta Bastali, the certain person by the name of Imarta Bastali, Baskoin Shazin Savai. She was a Baskoin that was Mizana. Akfer of Chama Bartovia, Chavili Zmurus Usrafa. Rav Chama Bartovia wrapped her in flammable material and burnt her in fire. So Amar Rav Yosef, Tabitarti. Rav Yosef says that was a double mistake. Number one, Tabit Rav Masna. He made a mistake because Beis Din doesn't burn people that way. We do it by pouring lead down their throats. Vitabit Tanya, and he also made a mistake in that which we learned in the Brisa, where it says uvasa alkanim alvim velashofet asheriya b'yam mehem, that we make a hekesh between mishpat and kohanim, that bisman sheyesh kohen, when there's a sanhedrin that sits in the base of mikdash in the lishka sagazis yesh mishpat, then we're done dinin nefashos bisman shein kohen, but when there's no sanhedrin in the lishka sagazis, then ain mishpat, then we don't have the misas based in. So he should not have done this. The raya that it's talking about dinin nefashos, not dinin mamon, this is from the hemshich of the parsha, because it says v'yesh sheyas Mesa Ishahu, or because the pasuk is talking about Shoftim, which is the Sanhedrin. Dinin Fashos actually requires a Sanhedrin, as opposed to Dinin Mamonis doesn't require a Sanhedrin. That's what the Ad Ramah points out, because it just says Mishpat. Mishpat could have meant Dinin Mamonis also. And Dinin Mamonis we still do, right? Meaning that's not something that stopped just because we don't have a Sanhedrin in Lishkos HaGazis. But no, we're saying that when there's Sanhedrin Lishkos HaGazis, that's when we do Dinin Fashos. But without a Sanhedrin Lishkos HaGazis, we're not going to do Dinin Fashos. Amar Rav Lezer B'Tzadik, Maisa Baskoin Shazinsa. So Rav Lezer B'Tzadik says, well, I saw once there was a Baskoin Shazinsa and they burnt her at the stake. Amar Rav Yosef Bezin Shal Tzedukim Hava. It must have been Bezin of Tzedukim that didn't know that you're supposed to learn this Gezer Shavit to tell me that it's Misas Neshama V'Guf Kayim. So Hachi Amalu V'Hachi Hadri Lu. Is that the way the conversation went? V'Atayni, we have a Brisa that records the conversation entirely differently. That that I remember when I was a little kid and I was riding on daddy's shoulders, and they brought a baskoin that was mezana, and they burnt her at the stake. So Amlo Katanis, you were a katan, you can't bring a raya from anything that you remember as a katan. So isn't that how the conversation went? Not that they believed him and they said it was a basin of tzedukim. They didn't believe him. They said you were a katan, you didn't see what you thought you saw. So it says Mar Shnei Maisim Havu. There were two different times. Once when he was a katan, and once when he was a gadol. When he was a katan and he saw it, they said, "Ah, you were a katan." When he was a gadol and he saw it, they said, "It must have been a basin of tzedukim." So hey, Amar Lahu Bereisha. Which of these maisim did Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok report to the chacham first? Ilei Malka Maisim Amar Lahu Bereisha. If you can say it's the first one, the one in our Mishnah that he told them first, and only later he told them about the story when he was a katan. So Amar Lahu Kshu Gadol Lo Ashkach Bei. He told them something that he heard when he. That he saw when he was a gadol, and they still didn't listen to him. What was his hava mina in telling them that he saw it when he was a child as well? If he said, you know, I saw it when I was an adult and I knew what was going on and I knew exactly what I was, and they still didn't pay attention. So to say, oh, and when I was seven, I saw something. Nah, obviously they weren't going to listen. Elaham lehu breisha. Must be he told them first about the situation when he was a child. Vamrle katanisa. They said, we're not going to listen to stories that you tell from when you were 7 years old. So Amluk shu gadol says, oh, but it happened again when I was 37. So Amrle mleshaloy beizin shal osa shabaki. Now that must have been because it was a beizin of tzedukim. It was not a beizin that were experts in how to learn the Torah shabal peh. Okay, new Mishnah. Mitzvah sanah rogin. Next mitzvah space. Then how would they do hereg? So you met teasing this Rosh Hashanah, if they chop off his head with a sword, Kederek Shah Malchus, so just the way the Malchus would do, the Malchus Masolim would do. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Nivalu, though, Rabbi Yehuda says that's a very disrespectful way to kill a person, and the Pasuk says, you're not supposed to do that. Elamanichnas Rosh Al-Asadan, they put his head on a thick piece of wood that's built into the ground, the kotet bekofitz, and they take a large cleaver and they chop it off. So Amrlo ein misa menuvelas mizo. They say that doesn't sound all the much better. That seems pretty awful as well, pretty gruesome as well. So Tanya Amrlo and Rabbi Yehuda lechamim. Rabbi Yehuda said to the chamim, Afani yodea shemisa menuvelas. I know that that's a misa menuvelas. Aval ma'esa. What am I supposed to do? You can't do like you said. Shari Amr Torah b'chukaseim lo selechu. Torah says b'chukaseim lo selechu. So you're describing doing a misa the same way the Malchiyu Masalim would do it? We just can't do that. Rabbanan kibin dechsev saif ba'oraisa lo minayu kagamrinan. And the Rabbanan will say b'chukseim lo saleichu is when we didn't make it up first, when we're just following what they said. But it says in the Torah that you're supposed to do sayif. So we're just doing what it says in the Torah. The fact that they chose the same way of killing someone doesn't mean we're going to change our whole religion for it. Because otherwise, if it were true that you're not allowed to do anything the goyim do, that which we say that we burn things over kings that die, we burn all the stuff they used to use, and it's not considered to be usher because of darkei amori, but the goyim do that when their kings die. Since it says it in the Torah, or in Tanakh at least, so we know that we didn't learn it from them. So we're also, since it says Sayyaf in the Torah, we know we didn't learn it from them. And that which we learned in the later in this Masechta, Bishlama Irani Dachas Ksiv Buhu. I understand by Irani Dachas it says Lefi Charev. So I see it's Lefi Charev. I see that it's Misas Charev. El Rotzeach Minola. And how do I know that that's the Misa of a Rotzeach? Titania, because the Brisa about someone who's Maka an Eved Kanani and kills his Eved Kanani, it's the Torah says V'chiyakish Asavdo Asamasa B'shevet U'meis Tachas Yadon Nakom Yinakem, that the din of the Adon is in Misas Bezdin is a Nekima. So Nekima Zo Eni Yodea Mah. What does that mean? Kshomer vevesi alechem cherev no kemes nikam bris. So it says cherev haviomer nekima zusayif. So I see nekima means sayif. So that's how I know that that's what he's that's the misa that's befitting him. So in the Mishnah we said that hariga that's done by cutting off the hereg is done by cutting off the guy's head. So the Gemara now discusses how do I know that? So ask the Gemara how do I know that hariga is done by chopping off the guy's head? Ve'ema debaris le mivras. Maybe it's done by taking a sharp sword and stabbing him in his throat or stabbing him in his belly or something like that. Lefi charev ksiv. By Anshei Nidachas, it says that they kill him lefi charev, and the pi charev is the length of the sword on both sides and not the point, not the tip of the sword. And that's how I know that we don't stab him. Ve'ema David le'gistra. Maybe we should say that it's by cutting him in half, his whole body in half, and not just chopping his head. So I'm Rav Nachman, Rav Baravua, Amar Kravi, Haftal Rech, Kamach, Barol, Misiyafa. To chop a guy half, you know, right down the middle is certainly not a Misiyafa. So Ashkan, the Katal Avda, Bar Chorin, Minolan. We've only shown that you're Chayiv Hereg for killing an Eved, because the Pasuk was about, by Nakomi Nakem, was about an Eved. How do I know for killing a regular person, where it says, Mosi Masarotseach? So V'lav Kavl Chomeru, Katal Avda B'sayef, Bar Chorin, B'chenek. Because it's kal v'chomer, a stam miso is always going to be chenek, because that's the most kal of the misos. But if you kill an eved, you're going to be chayev a more severe misa, and you kill a regular person, a ben chor, you're going to be chayev a less severe misa. That doesn't make any sense. So says Gemara, well, hanich l'man yamer chenek kal. That's if chenek is a less severe misa. L'man yamer chenek chomer ma'ik l'meimer. But if chenek is the more severe misa, it makes perfect sense. So nafka le'mid d'tanya, we learn from the following brisa by the parsha of Egla Arufa, v'ata tevar adam anaki mikirbecha, hukshu kol shovchei damim le'egla Arufa. That we compare all shovchei dam to Egla Arufa. Mala lan b'sayif minatzavar, afkan b'sayif minatzavar. Just like we kill the Egla Arufa with a sword, and from the neck over here also. Ima lan b'kovetzim mulorif, but by the Egla Arufa it's with a cleaver and on the back of the neck. So afkan b'kovetzim mulorif, should we say the same thing over here? So I'm Rav Nachman, Rav Ravu, Amakra, v'yavtal rech kremocha, bero lo misa yafa. No, it's not with a cleaver at the back of the neck, because that would not be a misa yafa. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with mitzvah sanachnak in the Mishnah at the bottom. Everyone have a great day and a great Shabbos.